$100,000 chandelier. They tried to turn me to an animal. But white people think I'm radical. Supermodels think I'm handsome. You might think I'm too aggressive. Really, I think I'm too passive. Till I pull out the chopper, start blasting.
All the singles.
Straight up.
Throw it up. Watch it fall and drop. Riding, riding, go.
Straight
up. Riding, riding, go.
Big boy in the morning.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Pray for me. I'm about to hit the yay button. I don't want to say nothing wrong. But if
what's
you
up,
wrong, if I ain't say
and welcome to show number 81. As always, thank you so much for rocking me these first 80 shows. By now, you know where to find me. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe there so that the show will come to you every week. Got the email address set up. That's trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com. I've also got the website that's lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. All right, today's show, Taylor Rooks was kind enough to join me. We talk about a number of things. We talk about why she chose to leave Georgia for the bad weather of Chicago. We talk some NBA finals, talk about the Baylor Stanford situations. We talk about black women, both in her industry and as a whole, really. We talk about the fear of becoming a meme, all that and plenty more. Really enjoyed this one. I think you will, too. So the next voices you will be hearing are myself and Taylor Rooks. All right. I'm here with Taylor Rooks. Taylor, thank you for joining us, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. I guess how's summer treating you so far?
It's good. I mean, it's good to have a break just from everything. You know, we are in the studio 5 days a week, so it's fun to have this time where no sports are going on. But it also gets really boring. Like, it's fun the first 2 weeks, and then you're just ready to go back to work. But it certainly has been a very eventful off season. So even though I'm not having to go into work every day, I'm still fairly busy.
Okay, so busy how? Like, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, just having to stay up to date with all this stuff going on with Harbaugh. And then, of course, I'm constantly reading about Baylor and Stanford and all that stuff. And I go to New York in a couple of weeks for meetings, and then I go to L.A. So the summer is just a lot of you figuring out your next moves and what you're going to do and just kind of getting ready for the next season.
So you're in Chicago currently?
No, I'm based in Chicago. That's where based. We are, but I'm back down south right now. I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Let me see.
Wait, where are you at?
I'm in Atlanta.
Where do you live?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
You're from Atlanta?
I am. I'm from about an hour and a half from Macon, south of Atlanta.
No, I think you told me that. I'm from Gwinnett County.
So, okay.
Okay, good. Point for you.
I appreciate that. Actually, that brings me to my very first question.
Okay.
You willingly chose, let me make sure I get this correct, you willingly chose to leave the state of Georgia for cold weather. Is that true or false?
I did. I very willingly chose it. But, I mean, both of my parents went to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, go there or get kicked out of the house probably. And I decided to stay indoors. But, I mean, Illinois is a great place. And I also knew that I think it's important for when people are out of high school to explore and go somewhere else and not stay around the people you've been around your entire life.
True.
And Illinois was just the best option for that. And I was near Chicago and I'm tough, you know. You can still stunt in the winter. So I'm good.
Can you stunt in the winter?
Sure. 100%.
Furs and stings, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah. You got to pull out a couple minks, you know what I'm saying? So if you can't do down south.
Okay, so more importantly than the weather, like you, so you grew up Georgia watching SEC sports, I'm guessing?
I did, but I mean, I really watched everything. There was definitely more of a focus on SEC sports, but I always followed Illinois because, like I said, but my parents went there.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up on that southern kind of football culture. I'm probably more of a football person than I am a basketball person, even though I love both.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I grew up on football.
Okay, that leads me to my next question. How do you choose to leave SEC football to go watch like 10-9 Purdue Northwestern football? I need answers.
Okay, I mean, hey, first off, don't hate on the Midwestern football. It's still good. For
is
starters.
It?
Yes, it is. Secondly, I mean, you can still watch SEC football no matter where you are, but I think the interesting thing is it's, you know, you go up to the Big Ten, and naturally when you're in a place where, like, I went to Illinois, so it's a Big Ten school, so I'm naturally going to like, I'm going to start to like the Big Ten sports more so than I am the Southern ones.
Right.
You know, even if football is quote-unquote better in the South, you naturally like what becomes a bit more familiar to you. So when I'm in Illinois and I'm hoping that they beat Ohio State and Michigan and all these other schools, you kind of also start to think that these schools are really good because your school can't beat them.
That,
and you can't, you know.
that's Stockholm syndrome, man.
No, it's true. It really is. But it's hard to identify with those other schools when you're not watching them every single week.
True. But you choose to watch like Purdue and...
Well, okay, that would be completely honest. I have to watch Purdue and Northwestern now because it's my job. But when I was in college, I wasn't tuning in for the weekly Boilermaker game. But, you know, but now I am and I love it and it's fun. But that wasn't my thing in college, to make sure I didn't miss the Minnesota matchup.
Hey, you never know. Minnesota, Indiana, they might have like a double overtime 51-49 game that you just
right,
can't miss.
Full of field goals.
So with like Georgia teams, were you pro teams? Are you Hawks, Falcons fans?
The Falcons. Didn't watch too much of the Hawks. Like, well, for starters, I love college sports more than pro sports by a long shot. Like, I could live without pro sports, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, let's talk about it. Why?
You lose the passion when you start playing for money. I know everybody says that's BS, but I think it's so true. And for example, like when I'm watching March Madness, when a team loses, I genuinely feel bad. I could know nothing about the team, nothing about the player, nothing about the coach, but I feel for them when they lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm watching the playoffs, I feel nothing when a team loses because I'm like, you don't have that same... I just feel like that same love and that same just like will to win. If you lose, you have next season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have that in college. And I think that's one of the things that makes it great. It's what makes the fans great. It's what makes the players so exciting to watch, just knowing that they're genuinely playing for their teammates and for their school.
Right.
I don't really feel like you're always seeing pro athletes playing for their team or for their state. It's just because they're going where they were drafted.
Right.
You know, when you go to college, you're picking that place. You're
True.
Saying that's where you want to be. I just think it loses a little bit of its magic.
Even with the sizable talent gap?
It's definitely a talent gap, 100%. But there's also a talent gap between SEC and the Big Ten. So
agreed.
You know, I just think it's about what you get from the games.
True. Okay, so if you're not big on sports, have you been watching any of the finals?
Oh, I watched the finals. I still watch the pro sports. I'm just saying if I had to pick...
Then you would go college.
College, hands down.
Yeah. Okay,
true. I'm watching it. I'm so into it.
So who, I guess, did you have a rooting interest, or who did you have before the series? Because it's not looking good at all right now.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Cavs
at all.
But, I mean, I'm obviously rooting for the Warriors. And I say obviously because since I don't necessarily care which one wins, I just want to watch high-level basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Warriors give you that. And it's just an amazing story. It's been a historic season for them. And it would be dope to see them win back-to-back titles and first step to have back-to-back MVPs. It just, you know, I just think that that's just the better story. Though I will say, I know I said I don't usually feel bad for players, but I will feel bad for LeBron if he does not win.
Yeah,
I
already do. Like, it's game two. Yeah, anything can happen over these next couple games, but... I don't know if you saw, there's like a gif going around of LeBron. He's just shaking his head from the other night. I was like, he knows. He knows this team don't have it.
He knows. I mean, and it's sad because, you know, when LeBron went to Cleveland, I don't think he was imagining that he had to play the Warriors.
Exactly. It was like a robot that hadn't been invented yet. Like he was planning to beat like the Spurs and the Thunder, and I think he built a team that can beat the Spurs and the Thunder, and then here come this Warriors team out of, like, nowhere.
Yeah, and he was just completely caught off guard. I'm just like, I cannot deal with the LeBron slander on my timeline. I can't deal with people saying he's not great. I'm like, what are you expecting him to do? Get 80 points and defend everyone and block every shot and get every rebound? That's impossible. Mm. Like, this doesn't take away from LeBron's greatness. Not one
like at all
can win a championship by themselves.
Yeah, like all the finals he's lost, the only one that I would say I would ever, I can't even say hold against him, but would like think that he didn't do all he could was the Dallas one. That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I'll give you that. But it's like these things shouldn't be knocks to his resume.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he's still the greatest player. I just feel bad because, you know, he came here or he went to Cleveland and he's like, we're going to win. I'm going to bring one for the city. Everyone in Cleveland got so excited. The next thing you know, Steph Curry's here, and he is just, and that is another thing I always say about Steph. It's weird, like, Steph Curry's ascension. It's like him becoming great is coming in the middle of what is supposed to be other people's great times.
That's a very good, like, is this supposed to be like Durant's time, Westbrook's time, LeBron's time, and then Steph was like, Steph had like one ankle 2 years ago, and now he's like the best player in the world, and it's like no sign of him slowing down.
Right, and I always try to, I never know how to word what I'm trying to say, but that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, it's interrupting everyone else. And now it's like, you know, Russell Westbrook is trying to catch up to Steph Curry. So it's Durant. So, and it makes every point guard look like they're inadequate, even when they're not. Like,
yeah.
Russell Westbrook is a top five player.
Absolutely.
But he's not Steph Curry. Even when he makes a Steph Curry shot, nobody makes it a big deal because it wasn't him.
Right. I think you see it right now with Kyrie. Like, Kyrie's getting raked over the coals. And he's still like an all-star player. He's fantastic. He's just not Steph. And that's not a knock, but he's the measuring stick now.
I know. And I know. I completely agree. And I always say that. It's just like, no matter how good you are, until you're shooting from the logo and everybody makes vines about you.
Right.
They're going to just feel like, all right, well, where's the Steph show?
Right. So you said you're rooting for this. Do you get to a point, like, at what point you feel like you're like rooting against the underdog? Like, all year I felt the way you felt. Like, I wanted to see the Warriors accomplish greatness and all that. And then they got to that Thunder series and I was like, you know, I kind of think I want KD and Russ to win this. And now that they're in the finals, I'm like, I kind of think I want LeBron to win this.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know when or why it flipped. It's just like, okay, like, they're great. I get it. But I don't know. I just think, like, Russell Westbrook holding the finals MVP trophy would just be very fun for me.
But is it you going against the Warriors or just wanting to see someone else win?
It's kind of me going, like, when Draymond kicked Steven Adams. That might have been the switch. That might have been the switch. Like, I like Draymond. I like his game a lot. I can't get jiggy with that. I can't get with that at all.
So you think it was on purpose?
Absolutely. You don't?
I don't know.
That was on, come on now.
But he does that every time he goes up.
I think it's intentional every single time he goes up.
He is trying to, like, stop people from having children every basketball game.
By any means.
No. But
I know he's Big Ten family, so you're defending him. I think he did it on purpose.
It's not even that. It's honestly not even that. I just think it's just a little ridiculous to think that he's trying to be dirty every time he goes up.
See, but when it's a mindset, I don't think you have to try. It's like Dellavedova. If it's like all you've ever known, he doesn't have to say, well, I'm going to intentionally go for this ankle. No, it's instincts.
I think Delly's were more intentional because it wasn't happening every time.
True.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, the thing with Delly, it's like it's always something different. Like, Draymond has the kick, and sometimes with Delly, it's like he might hit you, he might go for your ankles, he might throw some sand in your eyes. Like, you don't know what he's doing in the midst of the huddle. It's always something with him.
Okay, so it flipped for you when you saw Draymond Green kick Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, okay, hey, maybe I want another team to win this.
Well, it's like, I mean, I'm a KD fan. I love Westbrook. I've been rooting for those guys, like, since college, really. So I would like to see them win one. And then this Warrior, I don't know. Like, just I'm more fearful of the narratives. Like, I don't want to hear all the takes if the Warriors win again. Like, it's going to be like an entire summer full of, is this bad for basketball? Is this the best team?
I don't think that they'll get that, is this bad for basketball take? Because I think everyone likes it. You get that take for, like, with UConn.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear it with men.
That's a good point. So you think it's because, you think that's that difference?
Oh, 100%. UConn went undefeated and everyone was like, wow, this makes basketball so boring. They're too good. But when the Warriors were doing it, everyone was like, I hope they win another one. Like,
right.
It's just such a lopsided narrative and a lopsided mindset that goes along with it. I don't know why people feel that about the women's game, why they don't want to see strong women or dominant women.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely different, 100%.
That's fair. See, I'd never thought about it. Like, that's fair. Now I feel like I have to keep rooting for them to win now so I don't be a sexist.
Right, exactly. But, no, I think the thing that bothers me sometimes with the Warriors, not the Warriors, but the way that people talk about the Warriors is... I don't understand why Steph Curry is an underdog. I don't get why people say
that. You were preaching to the choir.
Yeah, like, I truly don't get that storyline.
I think, see, that's what I fear. Like, people make story. When they don't have anything to write about, they'll make a storyline. And only now could you have a guy that is, like, the son of an NBA player. And I believe his mother ran track, too. So yeah, he's got, like, superior genetics.
He's literally the top dog.
Yeah, like, he's like, six. He looks small on the court, but he's still, like, 6'3", 200. Like, he's not a small person.
Yeah.
He didn't get a lot of scholarships. He still got a chance to play Division I basketball. Was still a lottery pick. And, like, what's the underdog part?
Underdog. I'm like, no, he literally isn't. I mean, I get that they're saying, like, his size, like, what he can do with his size. I understand that, but that isn't the definition of an underdog.
Right. I think it's because he's light-skinned.
Oh, colorism is very real.
Yeah, I think it's because he's light-skinned.
But, I mean, that is definitely a big part of it as well. It's just that definitely annoys me. I will say, I'll be annoyed if they win, and then we see a whole bunch of, like, underdog overcoming whatever they overcome.
Right.
Like, that is not going to cut it for me.
See, that, I think that's exactly what, like, especially since they beat this, you know, they came back against the Thunder the way they did. If they beat LeBron's team, they're finally healthy. I think we're going to get a whole summer of that. That's what I'm not looking forward to.
But see, I'm surprised you don't want the Warriors to win after seeing them come from being down 3-1. That's when I said, oh, I want them to win it all.
When they came back.
That was, like, that doesn't happen.
And even then, I felt like, I mean, it's hindsight, but I was like, once they, like, if the Thunder didn't close them out game, what, 5, I was like, they're going to win it all. And if they win this series, they're going to win the title. That's all it is. That's all it, this is the greatest team of all, or the team with the most wins of all time. I can't say the greatest team of all time. But they're going to finish with more wins than anybody in history. And they got written off very easily.
Do you think that the same way it leveled for them when they played the Thunder, that it's going to level for the Cavs once they are playing Cleveland?
Like, in terms of having to come back?
Yeah.
I think it will. Like, I think there's going to be a point where the Cavs are, like, down 10 in game 3 and, like, okay, this is it. And I think they're going to end up being down 20. I just don't think they're as good as the Warriors. I don't think they have any answers.
So you don't think the Cavs will go to Cleveland and win? You think they'll lose?
I think they'll win game 3.
Okay.
I think they'll win game 3. Game 4, like, I think that's where they're going to be like, okay, we got to, like, we're not going to come back 3-1 on this team. And I think they'll lose anyway, just because I think the Warriors are better.
Okay, no, I could agree with that. But, I mean, I'm almost prepared to say that they'll sweep.
You know, I don't, it's not far-fetched. Like, again, yeah. It's this game 3. And if they come out, like, Steph and Klay haven't really did much. Like, if they both come out and hit, like, 10 threes in the first half of game 3, then what? It's a sweep.
See, that is what is, to me, like, the beauty of the Warriors. It's like, okay, we say, okay, Steph and Klay didn't do much, but, like, Steph had 18, Klay had 17. But even when they don't produce that much, Draymond has 28. It's like,
right.
It's a team that has so many people that can score. Like, what is insane to me is that Steph Curry is literally resting in the finals, during the finals, in the game. He played 25 minutes in game 2.
And they won by, like,
jumping around on the bench.
Yeah, he was, like, playing, like, video games. Like, this is the NBA finals.
That, exactly. And I'm like, y'all, this is insane. This is honestly insane. Like, I don't want to go as far as to say it kind of doesn't matter if Steph and Klay are performing well, but they have proven that they're still okay if they aren't.
Right. So. I was like Barbosa's like 44 and he's out here getting like Barbosa. I've been watching Leandro Barbosa play playoff basketball. It feels like for 20 years since he was back with like the Steve Nash Suns.
Right.
And he's been doing the same thing. It's like Barbosa is going to be like the finals MVP in 2016. I don't know if I'm prepared for it.
That's so funny. So do you think Steph will be the finals MVP?
If it ended right now, I think they would have to go Draymond, honestly.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't think it will be Steph, but I am also not prepared for the hot takes that'll be like, well, Steph goes another year, not finals MVP.
He's exactly.
Player. It's like, shut up.
You see what I'm saying? These are the takes that I'm not prepared. See, you're starting to see it now. These are the the articles, like the My Column. These are the things you're going to read over the summer. If they sweep, it's going to be awful. I feel like 6 games would be decent. There might be minimal takes, but if they sweep, it's going to be terrible.
I mean, in my opinion, it's more like, when will the Warriors not be the best team?
Well, that's a good question because they're signing Kevin Durant after next year. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, do you think he's going?
I do. You yeah, let's talk.
I was talking the other day. I was like, man, if I'm Kevin Durant, I at least want to go to the East. So I know I'll be in the finals.
Right. Where would you go in the East?
I don't know, because my thing is, I think I would go to a team that is going to let me make the team. Like how the Cavs allowed LeBron to bring pieces, I mm-hmm. think Kevin would have to go to a place that lets him do that. So, like, it's hard for me to say what team he'll go to, because I think the team that he goes to won't look like the team it looks like now, if that makes sense.
It does. And I'm going to tell you exactly where he could do just that, the Atlanta Hawks.
That's very true.
He would It would never, ever happen in 100 million years. But if Kevin Durant wanted to come to the East, like be in a good city, they could sign him and still bring back Al Horford. So I think the Hawks won like 48, 50 games this year.
Yeah.
Something like that. And would be adding. Yeah, hey, it happens. That or the Raptors. I feel like if the Raptors could somehow clear some money and just make a go at Durant, he could come to the East.
Oh, man, I'm just thinking, like, is he really going to live in Canada? Like, I like Canada. I went there for OVO Fest once, but I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm about to live outside of the U.S.
How was OVO Fest?
So much fun. I loved it. I mean, I only went 1 year. It was my first year out of school. So, what, two years ago? And, I mean, it was dope because he just brings all these different guests. And Outkast opened for him, and Lauryn Hill was there, and like J. Cole and Trey Songz and 50 Cent. Like, it was dope just to see everyone in one setting.
Yeah.
It's definitely something you should go to.
I might have to wait. So, Lauryn Hill was there, like, performing, or she was just, like, in the crowd? Like, she was just there.
She performed.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, and Lauryn Hill's my favorite everything, my favorite rapper.
Oh, God.
Like, I love So
oh,
that was
no.
my third time seeing Lauryn Hill. And by the way, every time I saw Lauryn Hill, she was on time.
Okay, so. I was going to say, so you've seen her. She's performed three times. That means you've been to, what, 9 concerts? And she just didn't show up for the other 6?
No, she was on time every single time. So y'all can slander my girl as much as you want, but she was on time for me.
Oh, we will.
And, but yeah, so no, it's dope. Like, and I'm not one of those people that's into festivals. Like, you will never catch me at Coachella or some dirty thing like that. But... Mm. Like, OVO isn't like that. It's like in an amphitheater, and it's nice, and it's organized.
Yeah, see, I'm not much of a festival person. Did you see any of the Kanye stuff yesterday? Or I guess this weekend, with him supposed to be performing?
Oh, he was at, like, it was raining or something?
Yeah, it was like, I don't even know, because I don't know what happens in New York. I'm just out of the loop. But apparently he was supposed to perform somewhere. It got rained out, and he was going to perform somewhere else. And I don't know, I saw people like chasing him around in a car, and I was like, I don't know, this doesn't seem worth it. Like, I would just much rather just go to a concert where I'm guaranteed to see this one, even if it's just one person, and know I'm going to see this one person. I'm not going to have to chase them around the city. I'm not going to get rained out. I would just like to go see just this one person.
But see, my thing is, I'm also not that big into concerts in general. Like, I liked the festival because I knew I would see a lot of people that, you know, like you may not ever see again, like Outkast.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I could listen to this at home. I know that sounds bad, but it's like, I don't have to go see someone. Like, I saw Beyonce, because I feel like everyone should go see Beyonce. So I've seen Beyonce in concert. I went to the OVO Fest, but I'm not, like, itching when a concert is in town.
That's about, like, I want to see everybody once, but I don't really, like, I'm not this concert head that's going to, like, follow somebody city to city to go. Like, I saw Jay-Z a couple years ago. I'm good on ever seeing Jay-Z live again. It was not very good for one, but two, I'm just good on that.
Really? Scene. He wasn't good?
Worst concert I've ever been to.
But what was he, like, what era was this? Like, what just came out?
This, I'm afraid to say it. This was Magna Carta Holy Grail Jay-Z. So I guess I walked right into that one.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta see Jay-Z, like, Reasonable Doubt Jay-Z.
Yeah, but I, like, wasn't even born for Reasonable Doubt Jay-Z. It was like 40 years ago.
General.
Yeah.
That's the Jay-Z you have to go see. Blueprint Jay-Z.
Yeah. Honestly, I missed my boat. What's the worst concert you've ever been to?
I don't think I've ever been to a bad one, because I went to OVO Fest, I've seen Beyonce, I saw Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill. None of them were bad.
What's the one you're ashamed to say? Like, what's one that you haven't mentioned yet? You're like, I paid money to go see that, and I'm not proud of it.
When I was in middle school, I went to see Christina Aguilera.
How was that?
But it was not bad.
You didn't know no better. You didn't know no better.
It just isn't like something I'm broadcasting.
Yeah.
She's a vocalist, though. Like, there's a difference between a singer and a vocalist, and she is a vocalist.
Aguilera. Yeah, she can. I'll give her that. She can really. I would never, ever want to see her live, but.
It was, you know, I was young and stupid.
It happens. It happens.
So it was good, though. It was good. I think those are all the concerts I've been to, though.
Like, just those couple?
I think so. I mean, okay, no. When I was in college, I saw Drake again in college. That's it. That's
the last one. You're a big Drake fan? OVO Fest? Seeing Drake?
Yeah, but it's like, I like Drake's music. I don't know. I'm weird with the being fan. Like, for example, I am a fan of Lauryn Hill. Like,
oh, God. Easy.
You know? But easy. Like, I thoroughly enjoy Drake's music, but I'm not, like, souped about Drake. I can't explain it. Like,
why? Like, what is it about? What's the divide?
I don't know. Like, let me think of a male who I'm like, okay, I am a fan of this person.
I'm trying to think of like some old like Purdue 1988 running back that you got like I don't even know.
No, I mean, I can think of like athletes I'm a fan of, but I'm trying to think of music. Like, for example, I was a fan of Michael Jackson. Like, I was a fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
I like Drake. I think Drake is great. I think he's extremely talented, but I don't know. To me, fan is someone you just like revere.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
So you revere Lauryn Hill. You're a fan of Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, I like what Lauryn Hill represents. I think that's more so what a fan is. Maybe revere is the wrong word. But I like her message. I like what she represents, like, to the fullest.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's fair. You can appreciate what Drake puts out.
Yeah, I think her message is saying you should aspire to. So, I mean, I think, like I said, I think Drake is great. I probably know every single Drake song, honestly.
Even Views? Even the ones on Views?
Not all of them on Views. I only have like a couple Views songs I like. But
which one? It's not. There's not a whole lot of them. So which of the songs you like on Views?
Feel No Ways. I like Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
I like Controller. I like Six, Nine, I mean.
No, tell me you don't like this song.
No, I like, I mean, besides the I turn the six upside down, it's a nine now. Besides that line, I like this song.
That, I don't know, that's a big part of the song. I don't know if I can agree with this. Line. I don't know if I can agree with that. But you just named four songs. There are 20 songs, and you struggled to name like four. That's not a good batting average.
Oh, it's definitely like not the best. Like, I love Take Care. I love So Far Gone.
Yes.
I love Nothing Was the Same. But to me, like, Drake's best songs are the songs that aren't on like albums.
Yeah, they're like the ones like they randomly come out in the summer and it's shit talking Drake. That's the best Drake.
Yes. But I mean, I even love, like, I love Days in the East Drake.
Days in the East is fantastic. Yeah.
I love Girls Love Beyonce Drake.
That's a good one too.
I like Heat of the Moment Drake. Like,
that's a good one too.
I love.
I see. That. I forgot all these because they're not on projects, like you said.
Exactly, but those are some of his best.
Is the ghostwriter thing? You think, is that any of the divide of like why you like Drake's music but wouldn't say you're a fan?
No, because I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating it right because it's making it seem like I don't like Drake, and that's not what I'm saying. I like Drake. Like, I'm sure he is an amazing like person. I just like. It's rare for me to say I am a fan of something. Like, a fan to me implies, like, a fan to me just implies that you just, like, are obsessed with this person. Right. I don't know how to, like, you know how Beyonce fans are?
The hype, yes. Tread lightly. Yeah, like, tread lightly.
I think, yeah. I think that is what, like, fan implies to me, and I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm a Drake fan. It's like, I love Drake and I'm obsessed with Drake, and I just love Drake's music.
Okay, so what high? Yeah, that makes sense. So what hive are you a part of? Like, do you have anybody that you go that hard for? Like Beehive goes for Beyonce. Do you have anybody like that?
Michelle Obama.
True. I don't know. Does she have a hive? You should start one.
I don't know if she has a hive, but I mean. I love Beyonce. No, I am a fan of Beyonce. But I'm not a Hive member.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is somebody that... maybe it's that it's hard for me to say I'm a fan of, like, a male singer. Because I just think it implies somebody that is obsessed with you.
True. I mean, yeah. I mean? Fanatic, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, and I just am like, no. It's not like... You know, that is kind of a different conversation for me. Is that people feel like they know somebody... You know, so they're like, I'm a Drake fan. I love Drake. It's like, you don't know Drake, so I'm not about to, like,
right.
be all about Drake. I don't know. It's hard for me to explain.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think you see it a lot, kind of even switching lanes with, like, when somebody famous says something wild on Twitter, and you're like, what? How could you say that? And you're like, well, you just knew. I'm trying to think. Who says, like, I don't know. I was going to say Chris Brown, but he does dumb shit, too. He doesn't just say dumb things.
Yeah, he's out of control.
Like, Big Boy. Big Boy was under some heat the other day. He posted something about, like, I think it was like the mothers of old do this and the new women do something like that. Some respectable women shit. And people were like, if you listen to Outkast music, is he saying anything that he hasn't been saying? Like, why do you feel like you know these people from Twitter or even from their right. music, like you said?
Right. No, I completely agree. And I don't know, Twitter to me has just, it has changed celebrity in general, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, like social media has just changed what I think celebrity means. I'm not saying for the worse. I just think mm-hmm. it's changed it. Like, you know, years ago, I think there was this mystique to celebs and mystique to famous people because you don't know when they're going to pop up. You don't know you're going to see them.
Right.
But they're so accessible now.
Yeah. Like, you know everything. You know where exactly. they're at on Snapchat because you can see the location. You know what they're doing right now. You can see it on Twitter. You know too much. Too yeah, much,
like,
if you ask me.
It's not a gated, like, community. It's like, it's all there.
Yeah. And I feel like that's when, like, the problematic, if you want all of it, you have to take all of it. And that means if somebody's going to go, like, Kanye West is going to say he supports Bill Cosby, that's part of the all-inclusive experience with Twitter. You don't have to agree with it, but you want it in. This is what you get now.
No, 100%. Like, I 100% agree. So, I don't know. It's hard to be fans of people because that's why, like, a better way to say it is I am a fan of Drake's music. You know, like, I am a fan of his music, but I'm not about to be like, I am a Drake fan.
Right.
I'm a fan of his music because I know his music. I don't know him.
Right.
You know?
True.
So, you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of nitpicky, but I'm weird like that.
So let me, do you ever, like, really feel that pressure? Like, of the Instagram, Twitter, all that, you know, because it's, like, you're always around, you know what I'm saying? So people that are looking to you or looking up to you or watching you, they're going to see, I mean, it's everything that you give them, but still more than was once accessible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. Like, I wouldn't say I feel the pressure of, like, Instagram, social media, because I don't really think I feel like I'm just beginning my career, you mm-hmm. know, like I'm just turned 24 a week ago. This is my first job. Like, I think that maybe one day I will feel that way, but I don't feel any different about anything. Like, I don't think people are that interested in what I'm doing every single day and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your other question, I definitely 100% feel a responsibility, you know, girls that I feel like maybe look up to me or want to do what I'm doing one day.
Right.
Especially women of color, especially. I think one of the main things is, I don't know how to exactly word this, but I don't want anyone ever forget that I am black.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's easy to put people into a box when they, you know, are on TV or doing certain things, but it's like, my blackness is a very big part of me, and I don't want that to ever be swept under the rug with everything that I do. So whenever I have a moment to talk about black issues or being brown and not being light, like, I try to talk about those things because, and it's one of the reasons, like, I love Carrie Champion is because mm-hmm. that was the first brown woman I saw on TV talking about sports.
Mm. And yeah, I'm trying to think. I think she probably is the first I'd seen as well.
Right. And I just think whenever people think about women in sports or women on TV, I just think automatically made me think of somebody who's light.
Mm.
But for me to see Carrie, it's like, this woman is brown. Like, people underestimate what that representation is. Like, the fact that you can turn on your TV, look at Sports Center, okay, like the number one sports show, and see Carrie Champion hosting it.
Right.
Is big. Like, Carrie Champion was in Vogue last month. That's big. And I just think that you can't like downplay what that means to people of color. And I don't, like, I just feel like that there is this narrative that has been put out there that that all black women want to be light, and that isn't true.
Yeah.
I mean, at least not for me. I just feel like that isn't true. I think black women are beautiful no matter what shade they are, light, brown, dark, like everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like this whole thing of like when people talk about how light-skinned people are talked about so much, it takes away from brown-skinned people, even though you're not trying to, because it creates this narrative that that is what everyone's striving to be.
Well, see, even I think that does take away, and I think that's by design. Like if somebody mentions light-skinned or somebody asks, you know, well, are you mixed with something? It's like implying what are you taking away from here? I can't just be this black in this color.
Yeah, people say something like that to me, and it's like they're trying to attribute the good things they like about me to something other than my blackness.
Right.
And that's just not going to happen with me. So, you know, I just think it's so important for black women of all shades to just, you know, support each other and not make it about all of these other things that really don't matter.
Yeah, black women are so supportive, especially of other black women. And even with Carrie Champion, you know, being on SportsCenter, being on ESPN, this is like a relatively, you know, quote unquote, relatively recent thing.
It is.
You know, like growing up, Carrie Champion wasn't on your TV, wasn't on my television. We were probably, you know, grown or close to being grown by the time we saw somebody of that complexion, you know, a woman on television in that nature.
No, for sure. I mean, like, even when I think right now, like, Carrie, me, Maria Taylor, Pam Oliver, and Pam Oliver got her spot taken by Erin Andrews. It's like,
right.
You know, I just think that that is so important for just, like, black women to see, like, you are fine the way you are.
Right.
You know, you don't need to change, anything. I love being brown. I love everything about myself. I love my big hair and my big nose. Like, I love all of that. And it's not something I want to change.
You know what this is going to turn into, though, right?
What is it going to
do? It's going to, like, you're going to say all this, and it's going to be like, you see it right now, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali passed, and everything this man ever said about, you know, loving his people and doing for his people, and they are still trying to whitewash this man.
Exactly.
And it's like, damn, like if Ali couldn't get out of it, like what hope does anyone else stand?
Like, yeah, my thing, I'm like, if you think Muhammad Ali transcends race, then you don't know who Muhammad Ali is. Like, he'd probably be insulted that you think he transcends race.
He'd absolutely be insulted. Because even then, you're implying that, like, you're not saying he transcended race. He transcended black people. That's what you're trying to say. That
right.
he was
like,
even
he was
better
so
than black
great.
People.
I didn't even see him as black.
Like, right. Right. Yeah. All right, buddy. All right. Skip Bayless or whoever, but like to say that, you know, if you don't see his color, you don't see him. That was the point. He wanted you to see that. He wanted you to know his name, you know, his religion, his story, all that. And I feel like you can't take a piece of that without taking all of that. But white people will try, and they're trying it right now.
Right. They are uncomfortable with a black person being comfortable being black. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, so they try to think of, like, qualifiers as to why it's okay. Like,
right.
Well, he was so good, I'm okay with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Cam Newton doesn't have that luxury right now.
Good Lord, no, he certainly does not.
Yeah, but, I mean, that is honestly how I think some white people do view blackness.
It is, and I think you see it with Russell Wilson. The same way they try to, you know, throw Russ up against Cam in terms of, you know, arguing their blackness or whatever. I know it was articles around the Super Bowl. It's like, which one would you rather your daughter take home? And I'm like, really? Like, this is what we're writing about in the playoffs?
Right. Like, I it bothers me when people think that I am, like, some special type of black person.
Super black.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I am, like, the type of black person that just doesn't exist out there. Like, it's just not the truth. And it bothers me that that is such a common belief, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's such a common belief?
For some white people to feel that way?
Yeah. Like, why do you think that is?
I think because some white people really, and I say some because this is not all white people.
I was going to say, and they'll be sure to let you know. Well, I don't. All right. All right, buddy.
Yeah, this is not all at all, but some.
98% top.
But some, I just think, have such like an inherent view of race and an inherent view of blackness and black people that they automatically associated with maybe underachieving. Mm. They automatically associated with not having a lot of money or not being successful. So when they see a black person that is those things, they're like, wow, they overcame being black.
I'm going to tell you the phrase that I think, like, as you said that, there's a phrase in my head, and the phrase is, oh, you speak so well.
Yes.
It's like I was expecting you to open your mouth and just, like, drool, just slobber out of your mouth. But you put words together in a sentence. I'm impressed.
Yeah, and they think that you are just, like, a rare species of your people. And I think right. that is such a common thing, and I don't understand it, but I just think it's so important for that narrative to change. Like, for example, with all the police brutality going on, and people say things like, well, probably shouldn't have had his pants down, or like, well, probably shouldn't have a hood on. It's
right.
Like, I shouldn't have to act a certain way to not get murdered.
Right. Ideally, it'd be nice.
Right. I should just not be murdered.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd be good with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's honestly so many issues, and I could probably talk for days about it.
Talk about it.
But, you know, I just think it's really important for women, especially black women. Honestly, black men have to support black women.
Okay, let's talk about that. How can we support?
I don't think they always do.
I would agree with that. That was something that I've learned from Twitter. I mean, I've learned, I would say most recently from Twitter, just seeing different scenarios. It was a case, I can't even remember the names. Like, so many black men are getting killed by police. And, like, out on the front lines protesting, you saw nothing but black women. Rows, right. Dozens, hundreds. And then they had one for a young black lady that was murdered. And the turnout, especially black male turnout, was disappointing, to say the very least. Very disappointing with the way black women have supported us.
And that is, I think, a big problem. Like, I just feel like black men get so offended and get so riled up when things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they feel like things are affecting them. But I feel like the big disconnect is sometimes black men don't feel like things that affect black women also affect them.
Mm.
But it does, and it should. I always say, you know, like, if I'm with you, you need to understand, like, my struggle is your struggle too.
Right.
Because the things that I have to go through every day, like, you need to understand, like, that is stuff you have to go through every day too.
Right.
And for whatever reason, black men feeling, okay, well, you know, she feels disrespected, or a lot of black women feel like they don't get support, but that isn't something that affects me. And I just think that I don't really know how it changes. I don't know if it's because of, you know, standards of beauty like we were talking about. I don't know if it's because the perception that maybe have of black women.
Mm-hmm.
But there is nothing I hate more than hearing a black man blatantly talk about their dislike for black women.
Yeah. You get some of everything, but it seems like you just see a lot of it on Twitter. And it's like, these are not just, like, it'd be nice to think that these are, like, all robots and egg abbeys, and these are not real people having real thoughts, but we know better. We know better than that. These are real people having real thoughts and raising children to think like this and perpetuating this.
And it's like, and people are like, well, it's just a joke. I'm like, but it's the fact that you think that that's something that has humor in it.
Right.
And I just honestly, I don't understand. I don't know why there is this big disconnect between black men and black women, but not between black woman and the black man. It's like, black women truly love black men, and I just, you don't feel that the other way around.
Well, I love y'all. If no one else does, Tyler loves y'all.
Good.
But let me ask you, so how would you, and I'll include my, like, how would you like our support? Black men, how would you like our, what can we do? How can we help?
You know what? I think a lot of it starts with just, like, accepting black women as black women. I say that as, like, stop fetishizing black women. Stop, you know, liking only this type of black woman because she is light or brown or dark. Like, just appreciate the black woman as the black woman.
Right.
And that doesn't happen. Black women feel so much pressure on them. They feel like they have to, you know, get butt shots and you know, be naked on Instagram, because I truly think the reason some women do that is because they think that's the only way they'll find value in their blackness. Because they feel like they can't just be a quote unquote regular black girl.
Right. Like regular's not getting checked for. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like everyone wants like this certain type of look, but it's because, let's be honest, I think people really do.
Right.
They feel that way because that is what people are looking for and that is what people want. But I think that if black men just appreciate the black woman, like without all of like the subcategories.
Just, right.
You know what I mean? Like just
like Aisha, like breaking up. See, it's like a lot of like Aisha versus like
right.
Cardi B or somebody like that. Like even like you can't even appreciate these two different women doing two different things. You have to pit them.
My thing is like, and I'm not necessarily talking out of Cardi B when I say this, but I'm saying Cardi B exists because of what she feels a black man wants.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Like that's what she gives you because that's what people have shown that she want or that they want. Yeah.
Exactly. And like, I understand obviously like, but that's the thing. Wanting a, I guess, Cardi B or Aisha, that is a difference in like a personality you like.
Right.
It's not a difference in the blackness you like.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you just want somebody that acts like Aisha or somebody that acts like Cardi B.
Right.
You know, like I can understand that more than like saying you have to be with a brown skin person, you have to be with a light skin person. Like that to me is like not appreciating a black woman.
That's yeah, not appreciating for what they are, I guess what you want them to be, what you think they should be, instead of like you said, what they are.
Right. So I think that's all I'd say. It's just like appreciate what we've done, the struggles we have to go through, like, and appreciate us because we appreciate you.
Right.
You know, like it's honestly sad, like, but it's just kind of where we are right now.
It is. And one thing that I guess changed my mindset was just seeing like the way that white people talk about black people in some terms, or the way men talk about women in some terms. Like you said it earlier, you know, you shouldn't have, what was he doing wearing that hoodie? What was he doing sagging his pants? And then you read like the Stanford story and you see that, well, what was she doing drinking that much? What was she wearing at that party? You're like, like none of that shit matters. Why is this what we're focusing on?
Exactly. And like, it even goes back to, for example, people who like love the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. Like they're beautiful girls, but I'm saying, why don't people admire the things that they have when they're on us as well?
Right. It's like it needs like validation. Like, right. Okay, big lips are okay now. Those are cool now. Braids are cool now.
Exactly. And I'm like, how come y'all aren't standing for us like you stand for Kylie Jenner?
That's
like,
a good point.
That is like another thing. I just like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Maybe one day it'll change.
I'm hopeful.
Fingers
I'm hopeful.
Crossed.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Right now, to get to a couple of questions we had. First question, I guess we kind of discussed it, but the question was, as a black woman, what's it like to work in a predominantly male environment? What are the challenges with establishing your credibility and earning respect?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I touched on it some, but the biggest thing I think is finding your voice, and not just finding your voice, but finding a place that allows you to use your voice. You know, a lot of the times female reporters, especially black female reporters, are put into a box. Like, they're a silent reporter or a correspondent. They're not always a host or in a space where they can just give their thoughts. You know, a lot of things will happen, even if it involves a woman, and it's a whole panel of men. And it's like, well, you guys don't know.
Like, right. Like, you're just you there know? To ask the questions to the dudes to talk about what happened to
exactly.
the woman. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's... And not even finding your voice, because you always have your voice, but it's finding a space that allows you to show it, to give your thoughts, because that's what makes you valuable. I think a lot of people talk about being a woman as a disadvantage, but I think it's the biggest advantage you could have is knowing who you are as a woman, knowing what you believe as a woman, because that is a unique opinion that can be brought to audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously challenges, but I think that the advantages really do outweigh the disadvantages.
Mm. So, like, going into this and knowing, you know, no one's going to be an uphill battle for a woman, especially a black woman in this field. Like, was anything, like, ever a time where you thought, like, you should turn back? Or is, like, is this what I really want to do? Do I really want to fight through all this?
I think there was more so a moment where I said, this is what I really want to do. You know, I think that, remember when I was applying for colleges, I was like, you know what, maybe I should major in business. It may be hard to be a broadcast journalist. Like, maybe I should just, you know, do something that is a little easier. But then my moment was, like, what are you talking about? Like, you can do this. When I commit to something, I know I can do it.
Right.
And when I was in college, I was constantly working, constantly trying to find interviews, always interned. Like, I worked so hard. Like, my very first job out of school was at a network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I said to myself, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to slack off on it. Like, this is what I want my life to be.
Right.
But I think that is something that is so unique to black women. Like, just that drive and that knowing that they can overcome whatever it may be. So, like I said, like, I think, you know, all the things that come from being a black woman are the reason that I even have the job that I have now.
Right. Okay. So let me, it's something that I usually ask guests, and I feel like from your answer there, I think I know what you're going to say. But of your success, from these three things, what would you attribute it to the most? Hard work, luck, or talent? Of those three, hard work, luck, talent. And of course, you know, it takes some of each for true success. But success, whatever you define it as, of your success, what would you attribute the most to? Hard work, luck, or talent?
Tough one. You know what? Talent and hard work are tied for a close one, but I think I'll put talent ahead of it.
Why talent?
The only reason I say talent is because not everyone can be on TV.
True.
Like, you just have that natural ability to have an on-camera presence, or you don't. Like, I truly think a lot of the stuff you see on television can't be taught.
Right. Like you can work at it. You can polish it so much, but it's only so good it'll be, or it can be, compared to somebody who just has the gift.
Right. And so, like, I mean, it definitely was a lot of hard work, but I think, like, you have to go with talent because you have to have some type of starting point.
That's fair. I thought from your last answer, I thought you were going to say hard work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're tied, but I almost feel like, I don't know how to, I'm probably saying this wrong, but I almost feel like saying hard work gives myself too much credit if talent is also an option. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like, oh, it's because of hard work, it just makes it seem like it was only because I worked hard every day, when a lot of people work hard every day. Like, I'm not
right.
The only person in the world that works hard.
Right.
There's probably people that work harder. Like, it just wouldn't be fair, I feel like, to say it was hard work.
Yeah, that's why, like, whenever people say hard work, I get upset. I don't like that, because hard work is trash. Like you said, you can work hard every day and still sometimes not get things. So, yes,
right.
I would much prefer to hear talent or luck. So I'm very happy that you said talent. I'm very pleased.
I mean, I'm definitely putting luck at the very bottom, but it's I would say talent first, hard work, then luck.
True. Let's see. Next question is, somebody asked, could we get thoughts on the Baylor and Stanford situations? Again, we had talked about that somewhere too, but I saw you tweeting about the Stanford situation, I guess early this afternoon.
I mean, it's sad. Like, it makes me sad to cover college football right now. Like, there are so many things wrong with it, and we have reached a point as a society where we value the wrong things and devalue the wrong things, and women being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insane to me that this is what I think is a crazy thing about sexism and racism sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I think that people are so programmed that they genuinely don't realize that what they're saying is racist or sexist.
I agree 100%.
Like, I'll use the most extreme example right now, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt that the things that Donald Trump says are racist. Like, that isn't even up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
He says racist things. But when he put out that tweet about Cinco de Mayo and the tacos and loving the Hispanics, it was obviously racist, but he didn't think so.
Right.
That's why he tweeted it.
Yeah, he was like paying homage in his mind. Like, don't you see, I like you people, don't you get it?
Yes, and that's why I'm saying, like, it's like, I don't think that people realize it. They don't realize that when they're, you know, putting a race down or putting women down, and that's what's happening in college sport. For example, the judge that was like, you know, if I put him in jail, it's just a severe damage to his life. It's like, it's because the judge was thinking about the man. He didn't even think about the woman.
Right.
And it's so sad. To me, the Stanford situation is more a case of white privilege.
Absolutely.
And the Baylor situation is more a case of we have made football too much of a priority.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a complete failure to the victims, to women, to the school. Like, they tried everything they could to make sure these women did not get justice.
For years.
It's like despicable. It was a cover up. It was a systematic, like, oppression of people. They literally did everything that they could. They did all the wrong things before they decided to do the right thing and firing him.
Even then, were you surprised when he got fired?
Very.
I was too.
Sad.
Exactly.
You should never be surprised. We should never not think that that person won't get fired.
Like, as that stuff was coming out, I just remember thinking, like, this is all awful. He'll give a little apology. Probably, pay a little fine or whatever. But I was like, it's not a chance. He's good. And, like, Baylor's good at football, but they're not, like, Alabama at football.
Right.
So it's like, I was like, Baylor, they'll let him slide. This will go away. So when they fired him, I was like, wow, that's a good move. But I'm very surprised they did it.
Right. No, I completely, completely agree with you. Like, it's just sad that we expect football trump morality and, like, human rights and rape. Like,
right.
But that is honestly what it has come to. And I don't really know if it's going to change anything.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I don't even know how to start. Because I remember it was a case, I guess a similar case at Tennessee, and that one just kind of went away.
Yeah.
And I know it's Tennessee's the one I remember because it's SEC country, but I'm sure there's one or something similar, you know, multiple schools in every conference in the nation.
Right, and that's what I say to people always. It's like, you are insane if you think that only happens at Baylor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
Like, this has happened everywhere. And, like, it was so delusional, like, when Baylor was first talking about this whole thing, and it was like, I don't know, remember if it was the Board of Regents or the AD, somebody had said, like, you know, sexual violence doesn't happen here.
Mm.
Like, are you serious?
Right, yeah, that's just delusion.
Yeah, like, they think that because, what, it's a Christian university, sexual violence doesn't happen? It's just insane. Like, it's a really sad state of college football right now, that this, like, and then now Baylor won't even let half their commits out of their letters of intent.
Yeah, see, like, that's whack as hell too.
It really, really is. And, like, I just don't understand how this is able to even go on. Like, this system literally benefits everybody except the athlete. Like, it benefits everyone except the athlete. Like, the NCAA, I don't understand what their job is. Like, I don't understand how in one day you can make a rule that Harbaugh can't take pictures at camp with kids, but it takes you forever to rule on things like rape.
Right.
You know, or like domestic, like, I don't get it. I don't get why it's this big debate about how an athlete should be able to have the rights to their own name. You have the rights to it.
Right. Like, that's the thing. If you ever ask anybody that doesn't support college players getting paid, if they would do any of these things in their current position, it's always, well, that's different. Is it? Is it different?
Yeah, it's not at all different. Like, I can understand some of the points people make, like when they say, okay, well, do you pay the third string guy the same amount that you pay, you know, the starting quarterback? Do you pay volleyball? Like, I get those points.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, That's why I think it should be autonomous. Like, you should have the right to your own name.
Right.
That is like a human right.
Like, at the very least.
Yeah. It's just insane. Like, I was reading something earlier this year that was saying that they are considering letting, like, athletes get endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
So then the money, but obviously it's because the money would be where else and not from the NCAA.
Exactly.
But, you know, so, yeah, like I said, I think it's sad. I think Baylor's sad. I think Stanford's sad. I think it's sad that whenever a woman says that she was raped, no one believes her. I feel like it's sad that whenever a woman says they were beaten, you have to see a video. Mm-hmm. I think that nobody ever, it's sad that no one ever believes the woman. I think it's sad that people think that because somebody can shoot a lot of three-pointers or get a touchdown, that they are a hero and that you know them, that they would never do something like rape someone.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot that needs to be changed, but yeah, college football isn't too hot right now.
No, not at all. I was like, goodness gracious, like what a terrible summer story to have. Like, ideally you want something when your sport's not going on to drum up some excitement, and then you just got these like these horrible stories coming out.
Right, exactly.
Let's see. Next question was, who would be your dream to interview?
Thinking. Probably. Oh, this is a tough one. I feel like there are so many people I want to interview. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's cliche to say, like, Barack Obama.
It is, yeah.
But
that's a cop out, yeah.
Yeah, but I would love to interview him. I mean, like, I feel like everyone I want to say, it's cliche. Like, Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very cliche.
Would you? I don't know. After some of these stories we heard about Mike, man, I don't know if you'd want to. Would you want to? Yeah.
I don't know. Come back to you on that. Because I just, like, okay. I love interviewing in general. So I just feel like I'd look forward to interviewing everyone that I interview.
Okay. Let me see. Who's the most famous person you've interviewed?
I don't know. I interviewed Kobe and LeBron. I interviewed Snoop a couple weeks ago. That was dope. I don't know. I guess probably Kobe and LeBron are the most famous.
I was trying.
And then, of course, I've interviewed like Urban Meyer and stuff. But I guess he isn't like famous. He's like legendary to me. But
right. That's regional. Kobe. Yeah. That's world. Yeah. That's. So how was that?
I interviewed Dr. J once.
How was that? How was Dr. J? Good.
I mean, I interviewed Dr. J. I was in high school, so it wasn't, like, that cool. You know, like, I'm just trying to ask, like, three questions and then interviewed Dr. J. But, no, it was dope. Like, that was the first person I interviewed that was big, like, as far as, like, legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe and LeBron, I interviewed at All-Star Weekend. That was the first big event I went to where I did interviews. Like, that's my first media credential anywhere.
Was it overwhelming? Like, you ever get starstruck, or it's just kind of like, I'm here for a reason now. There's a reason I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah, no, I don't really get, like, starstruck. It was cool. Like, I've interviewed, the first, like, big interview I did, but doesn't count because, like, he's my uncle, is, like, to get better at interviewing, I interviewed my uncle. He played for the Cardinals, so that was cool.
Lou Brock, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I haven't really interviewed that many, like, cool people. But, I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, you know, like, you think of other journalists, they have some great interviews, like sit down interviews, you know.
Well, I mean, like you said, you're just starting though. You gotta get right. You gotta crawl before you walk. You're getting your feet wet.
Very true.
Let's see. Somebody asked. Let's see. What pre-2000s era in sports would you have loved to cover?
That's a really good question. 85 Bears. 85 Bears or. I think I'm the 85 Bears. Like, I feel like people would usually say, like, you know, Michael Jordan, but I feel like I'm living that because we talk about it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I go 85 Bears. I think it'd be cool to, like, you know, watch, like, Jesse Owens. I think 85 Bears, yeah. I think all the good stuff honestly happened in the 2000s.
I was going to say, like, it'd be cool to, like, cover Jesse Owens in theory. Like until you,
yeah,
until
exactly.
You,
not in that
right, until you actually have to go back to like 1932 in Berlin, Germany, and ask him questions. Like, I'd like to cover Jesse Owens and like Jackie Robinson in theory.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, those are people like I would have liked to interview in theory. Like you said, but I'm not living that period of time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't say anything.
I feel like everything that happened in the 2000s, like, man, living in Atlanta, I loved Michael Vick.
Yes.
Like, if you would, like, I would have probably been like, oh, want to interview Michael Vick. I mean, I had the jersey. I had, like, the matching shoes. I had the jersey dress. Like,
Oh, no. Wait, hold on. Why did jersey dresses go away?
I don't know, but thank God they did.
No!
Oh, I'm not about that jersey dress. Because, I don't know, this is the thing. If jersey dresses were essentially just the jersey, but it was long.
Correct.
You know, maybe if they made jersey dresses stylish again, like fitted and like, you know, maybe it wasn't the actual jersey. It just had the number on the back.
Oh, you had the knockoff
like
joint? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Like that.
It just said like Atlanta on the front. It didn't even say Falcons. It just said Atlanta and 7 on the back.
No, my big jersey was legit. My big jersey.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Sure, buddy.
No. So I don't know. I truly feel like all the good stuff happened in the 2000s. Like I'm trying to think. Like everything I want to say, I'm like, I remember that happening.
I was gonna say, well, one, I think you should bring jersey dresses back. I think you're stylish enough to make it happen. I think you should try to bring it back. And two, yeah, like anytime I even see or think of a question like that, I always have to think like in terms of like what would have been like the best Twitter experience.
Oh, yeah.
Like what would be the best Twitter moment. So like for pre-2000s, the best era in sports, I don't know, because like everything I would want to happen on Twitter it's like OJ's chase, it's sports, but it's not really sports.
Oh, if that happened on Twitter, oh my god,
it'd be like the Ron Artest fight, it's sports, but it's not really sports, because I just want, like, they were throwing beer, that's what I want to tweet about, that's what I
he was punching people.
Yeah, he's punching fans. Like I don't know if people, it wasn't even that long ago, and I don't know if people, like, fathom, like, what would happen right now. If it happened, like, tomorrow or whenever in the finals, somebody just threw a beer at Anderson Varejao, and he just goes up in the crowd, and he's just fucking people up.
But it's like, that could never happen now.
Nah, but even, I feel like when it happened, you would have been like, nah, that would never happen. He would never
That's
go up
true.
In the crowd.
And you always relate things to, like, your time.
Exactly.
Dan, you know what? I'm really thinking, I'm like, I feel like everything else is trash besides the 2000s.
Hey, low key, I'm really trying to think. Like, it's,
I don't know. I'm really like, what would I have loved to cover?
I'm drawing blanks. Like, I'm even trying to think outside of sports now. And I'm, because it's
like. I honestly don't know.
It's like for black people, like, it puts a, there's a window on it. Because like you said, like covering Jesse Owens, it's nice in theory. Like like covering anything pre, I don't know, what, 65? Like would be
right.
Nice in theory. Not
right.
So much
like
in
I
practice.
Would have been allowed to interview him.
Right.
Like in theory, it would be nice to have covered MLK. Like,
right.
But not really.
I'll say, yeah, that means you got to get hit with the eggs too. You got to be
right.
Walking the walk with them.
Okay, you know what, though? It would be dope to cover the Black Panthers.
Okay, that's a good one. That would be dope to cover.
Yeah, I would like that.
I was thinking that or Ali. Like, if you were just, like, somebody was just, like, with Ali all the time during his, like, his prime, I feel like that would be amazing.
Dream Team.
Ooh. That might be
definitely
the answer.
Definitely Dream Team.
That might be the answer.
I may even throw Fab Five in there.
That would be a good one. I'm really
like Christian
to
Leighton or Duke.
Nah, we don't know.
Yes, honestly, I love Christian Leighton though.
Why do you love Christian Leighton?
I think because everyone hates him.
Why are you a contrarian? Why would you go against whatever? If everyone hates him, surely they hate him for a reason. And here you come.
No, like I feel like a lot of people don't like athletes that are like all cocky and know they're good, but I love it. I love it.
So that's why you're a big Christian Leighton fan.
Because people wouldn't like Christian Leighton because, like, obviously, A, let's be real, it's because he was white was a lot of it.
Correct.
Then it's because, like, he was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
it was because these big shots, these big buzzer beater shots.
Mm-hmm.
It was because he was kind of a bully on the court. Like, but I mean, I don't think that's a reason not to like someone.
I guess I've just never heard anyone volunteer that they like Christian Laettner.
No, yeah, I like him. And then I really liked him after I watched his 30 for 30.
That was a good 30 for 30.
It was a great 30 for 30.
Yeah, that was a very good one. But yeah, that surprised me. Christian Laettner fan. How about that?
Yeah, like I think it'll be dope to just cover Duke in that era. Like, I think I like all the basketball powerhouses. Like, I like Duke. I like North Carolina. I like Indy. Like, well, I don't know if people put Indiana in it still, but historically.
Not in the past 20 years.
But no, I mean, like, Duke and North Carolina, they're, like, legendary. But I like the idea of, like, the history that's behind programs. I think that's why I like Christian Laettner.
Because the history of white privilege?
No, trust me. No. But just, like, I like the story. Like, I like, I don't know.
Okay.
I get excited.
All right. I'm not here to talk you out of it. I'm just listening.
Oh, and cover, like, the Bad Boys, Pistons. That'd be dope.
I don't know. I feel like that'd be another one to be nice in theory. Like, then you actually get there and they're just fighting and they just seem like they would smoke cigarettes in the locker room. I don't know what the hell they did, but I don't know. That seems nice in theory.
Yeah. Or, like, I mean, I guess I'm thinking of things that I was like, it was a story that really hit home for me. Like, Len Bias. Or, like, Hang Gathers.
Right.
You know, like, there's been a lot of key moments. I think. Oh, number one, I don't know if this is too recent. I would have loved to cover AI. I don't know how I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
I love Allen Iverson, though.
You know, that might, because he was, what, 96? Yeah, that's pre-2000. So that counts.
That,
yeah, I think Allen Iverson is probably the clear answer. Like, I feel like, I think they're doing a documentary tonight on Iverson.
They are. It's on right now.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's recording. But
oh, okay. How are they? Don't let me hold you up. But yeah, I feel like I can never learn too much about Allen Iverson.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I loved the one Showtime did where they actually got him to participate in it.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Because at first he didn't do any, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 35-30 was good, but it wasn't that good because he wasn't even in it.
Right.
But no, he's just such like a polarizing character. He is just himself. He does not care what you think. I would have loved to be in those press conferences with him.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Let me see, did you have the Iverson jersey dress? Don't lie.
I did not. I had an Iverson poster though. The jersey dress. I thought the braids were so cool. Like, oh my gosh, the tattoos. I loved it. The chains, everything.
But no jersey dress, huh?
No jersey. Only had the Vic.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
Black women are so loyal. Look at that.
Right. See? Appreciate it.
Let me see. Ed, last question somebody asked. As someone who works in sports, what ways are you actively taking precautions to avoid receiving the crying Jordan face? Or do you just consider inevitable or a sign that you finally arrived?
I do think it's inevitable. I think anybody can be Jordanized.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like I don't really take steps. I will say that if I'm at a game, I make sure I'm not doing anything because you never know when the camera's on you. Like, you know, I don't want to, like, pick my nose or, like, get a wedgie out. Like, I'm just, like, don't put myself in that situation. But honestly, I don't think journalists really get Jordanized.
I'm trying to think. See, that's kind of wet. So you got to sit there the whole game like a booger in your nose and a wedgie just because you don't want to be Jordan faced. Is that the culture we live in? Yeah. No, I get it, but that's the culture we live in.
My thing is, like, people get crying Jordanized when they, like, face a loss. I just don't really know in what scenario someone's going to be, like, crying Jordan. Like, the time I got crying Jordanized, it's because I said something about the crying Jordan, so people started sending me photos of me with the Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It's not like I'm going to lose a game and people are going to be like, let's put it on, or, like, I'm not playing a game.
Right. They'll find a reason. That sounds like a challenge.
I like watched it after this. I'll have all of these photos of me in the Jordan face.
See,
hopefully not. Yeah, I just let's hope not. I don't want to get it. I don't want to ever be a meme. That is a fear of mine. It's not crying, Jordan. I have a fear of being a meme.
Like what? Any meme? Like just any meme you're afraid of?
Like, yeah. Like, just being a sort of doing something dumb and like all of a sudden you're a Vine. The face you're making is a meme. And it's everywhere. Like, and that happens in the blink of an eye.
Has that happened to you yet?
Not yet. But I think that is 10 times more likely than the crying Jordan face.
That's fair.
Just becoming a meme. Like, messing up on a question. And then it's just everywhere.
They hit you with the Mr. Krabs. You don't know which way is up.
Yes, yes. So just pray for me. Pray out.
Yeah. We're going to band together and send some prayers up that we never find you on the wrong side of a crying Jordan or a Mr. Krabs or.
Yes. And you know, like when people are watching a game and their team loses and like their mouth is just dropped and then it's just the Vine that's going around that whole night, like. Like, ooh, Illinois fans. And it's like, right. I can really see that happening.
That's why you gotta, I don't know, I feel like it's almost like you can't even go to sports games anymore. You're gonna be mean. I'd rather watch from the privacy of my own home.
Oh, right.
And not and have a cry. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
that's a very real fear.
Cross your fingers. Yeah.
That's a very real fear. We'll send some good energy your way in hopes that you never find yourself on that.
Good. Same to you.
Thank you.
I may have to retweet it if it happens. So like.
Oh, wow. If it happens to me?
Hopefully it doesn't happen to you.
Well, you said you'd have to retweet it if it happens to me?
Yeah, just because, I mean.
Is this what we're doing?
Conversation, it has. Like, you would have to retweet it. I would think less of you if you did.
Okay, that's our deal. You get memed. I retweet it. It's all in good fun. I get memed. You retweet it. It's no hard feelings.
None at all. I will never have any hard feelings towards you. I won't. This is like it's totally okay. You can retweet my meme.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now that I've got the green light, I'm gonna put out like a sign. I was like, give me the best Taylor Rooks memes you got.
Oh God, that would not be good.
Like
I can only imagine what the things people would say.
And Photoshop, I need somebody that can Photoshop a Michael Vick 2002 knockoff
jersey.
A knockoff jersey dress that you got from Old National.
I don't have no of that floating anywhere. And nah, I know I took a
somebody got
because I thought I was the flyest Georgia Peach. when I had that on.
Did you used to have one of like the belts with the electronic? Like, you could type whatever you wanted, it would scroll across your belt. Did you have that? Was that your era?
That was my era, but I did not have one. But people did have it. Like, when it would say, like, number one dog or something.
Super fresh or some dumb shit. Yeah.
But no. No. I didn't have it.
I think you should bring those back, too.
You do?
I do.
Those need to make a comeback?
I think you should bring those and jersey dresses back. That's just my opinion.
No, they're staying gone forever.
Okay, whatever you say.
Gone forever. Maybe like on Throwback Thursday, I may just like make a joke about it, do it, but probably not.
You got to drop the picture on Throwback Thursday.
At this point, I'm going to have my mom like see if there's any of me. Not because I want to drop it, but because I just want to see how ridiculous I look.
Nah, but you got to drop it. Again, we'll retweet it, but it's all in good fun.
I'll think about it. I'll think.
That's all I ask. That's all I ask. I feel like that's a good way to go out.
It is.
Taylor Rooks, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all. Anytime.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was like thinking you were gonna drop like a pun at some point.
Oh,
that's what you do on Twitter, but it just never happened.
You so know what?
Little let down.
I was gonna say next time. Next time I got you.
Okay.
Next time I got you.
Next time you can have the pun ready.
I'm gonna have a couple of them ready.
I will be looking forward to it. All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, and that brings show number 81 to a conclusion. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for rocking with me these first 81 shows. I want to thank my guest, Taylor Rooks, for joining me. By now, you know where to find the show. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe there so that the show will come to you every week. Got the email address. You can send me any kind of questions, comments, concerns, anything like that. That's trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com. I've got the website where all the shows are posted. That's lookingupfromthefloor.com. www.thebigboynumberone.wordpress.com. As always, guys, thanks so much for the support and stay righteous.